Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is February 6th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotiveVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives, or if you want to just do the podcast thing, then subscribe to MotiveVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use. Love having you on live, though. It makes for a much more lively and interesting conversation, and so I really appreciate that. Do want to let everybody know that we are completely sold out for our installer and sales classes for February, and the next class, the next premium install class that we have it is for March, and the virtual on that, I believe, starts in, I should have known the dates on that. I believe it is March 10th is when the next date on that one starts. So if you are looking for installer training or any type of training there, then please let us know. Space is limited, but we'd love to have to host your installers. So March 10th is the virtual that begins on the next one. So with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Anybody have any topics for discussion? So, I'm sorry, somebody had something?
I don't know if you want to touch on, are you looking for just an open discussion right now?
Well, just anything that anybody, any questions or thoughts or comments? I always like to start it off that way. What do you got, Paul? You got something?
Recirculating pumps on hot water systems.
What? Recirculating pumps?
And the
I hate when it's
of
cold.
The water.
All right,
sorry,
guys.
Recirculating pumps.
Ask you guys if you're I'm getting some background conversation. If you could mute yourselves, please. While that's going on there, sorry, Paul. Recirculating pumps.
Yeah, we've had several issues with some customers calling up about pinhole leaks in their copper plumbing and on the recirc line of the heat pump. Recirculating the hot water through. It's got a lot to do with velocity and water quality and 90s and just the flow. It's not an easy solution to fix.
Specifically, Paul, let's start with the basics. Recirculating pumps, this is where people will put these on their lines so that they don't have to wait,
for
5 minutes for water to get to a fixture, right? So you'll see, and basically it's a loop that is installed on the water heater, and you've just got a pump that cycles, constantly keeps water, hot water in those pipes, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And operation of that, I've got a guy that's got a house that he runs at 24/7, and none of these pipes are ever used on one side of the house.
Right.
So, and his bedroom's right below the hot water system, and he never really has to suffer for hot water. And now it's a 20-year-old house, and for years he's been dealing with pinhole leaks in his copper piping. And some of the plumbers out there, it's the soft water. Oh, it's this. It's that.
Right. Because there's a misconception that soft water causes corrosion.
Correct. So,
is there?
Looking at the solution of polyphosphate addition, but then I just really need to make sure the polyphosphate cartridge or cylinder is put in the right place.
Understand what they're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure who's there, but I think what I'm going to have to do here, you guys, is I'm not sure exactly how to do this, but if you could hit – just mute yourself or hit star 6. I think unaware that they're talking in the background there. So, can everybody still hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, so what is the pH of the water you're starting with there, Paul?
7.6.
So it's high enough that you shouldn't be getting... Yeah. And what's the TDS?
TDS is at about 550.
Yeah, so plenty high enough that that should not be the cause.
Right.
Yeah, so it is, I mean, that touches on something, you know, and it's a lot of the old school people. This goes to, it speaks to the fact that people do not understand the chemistry of water softeners. I mean, there's a lot of things at issue there. First off, every industry loves to blame other industries for problems, right? We've seen it with the septic system industry that blames the water treatment industry. We've seen it with the, you know, in this case, the plumbers, you know, blaming, you know, and I think sometimes water treatment guys blame other industries as well for things, you know. So, but this does speak to the fact that most people out there outside of our industry do not understand the chemistry of how a water softener works. So they, I mean, it is true that we all, and those of us who live in northern states where there's snow and they put salt on the roads, we know that cars tend to rust more because of the salt. And so salt is very aggressive. It can cause, it can exacerbate corrosion of metals. And so that's salt. But we in the industry understand that we're not putting salt in the water. We're putting sodium in the water. And sodium is not corrosive. It's completely different. So sodium is, you know, it's totally different than salt. Now, a lot of people, they don't understand that concept. You're adding salt to the brine tank. They're thinking there's salt in the water. I mean, we've seen that with, I'm sure everybody who's been in this industry for any amount of time has heard that customer who swears that their water tastes salty, when we know that, I mean, you go out there and you test it, you taste it yourself. Now, sometimes it's true that you can, you know, if you have a plugged drain line or not a long enough rinse cycle, you know, or I mean, you can, yes, have salty water coming out of a softener, but if the softener is functioning properly, it shouldn't taste salty at all. But people, psychologically, you're putting salt in the brine tank, so they, you know, the brains say all the water tastes salty. And it's the same thing that happens when you have, you know, somebody who doesn't understand the chemistry of it, who swears that soft water causes corrosion. I have seen that even just recently when we were talking about water hardness a couple of weeks ago, when I was reading some of the articles in preparation for all of that, there were some manuals that talked about soft water corroding. I think it was in the coffee pots or whatever. And I wanted to scream at the manual. I was like, no, it doesn't. There's no evidence to suggest that soft water causes corrosion. You know, so Paul, you're still exploring how to address these recirc. Is anybody else run into recirculation pumps on water for the hot side? Anywhere else? Anybody else running into those, or is this just a Traverse City, Michigan thing?
Hey, Kelly, this is Brogan from Utah. We have on a lot of our systems, almost every single house has one or two or even three and four recirculation pumps on it. And every time we go to, you know, install a water softener or shut down the water to the house for any reason, we have to make sure those are unplugged or it'll just keep circulating.
It burns the pump
and, out,
right?
Yeah, and then take all the hot water out of the hot water tanks as well.
Yeah. So that's a really good point, Brogan. For those of you who run into that have never run into them, you can do some damage if you don't. You know, shut that water down and unplug them, and you can run into, I mean, you'll burn the pumps out. So absolutely. It's a good point. Are you seeing any issues with pinhole leaks or the things that Paul's talking about, or have you run into that?
We do have a few special cases where that's been an ongoing issue. And, like Paul was saying, we've added polyphosphate tanks to those that's helped kind of reduce that issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I guess other than coating the pipes, you know, the polyphosphates, although it's orthophosphates that do the coating, polyphosphates surround the minerals in the pipes. I don't know what, I mean, explain, Paul, what would polyphosphates really do in that situation?
I know, and that's why I'm bringing this up, because I'm still questioning it. I talked to a couple of people, a competitor of ours that is now retired that I used to work for years and years ago, and he's a pretty smart guy. And him and I had this discussion as well. And his recommendation was polyphosphate, but I'm talking to engineers at Culligan at this point in time to make sure that we're using the right product. And
yeah.
Is the orthophosphate food grade? Can that be added to water if they're in the shower and they get the water in their mouth? You know, I got to make sure that this is, you know, safe for this guy as well. You know, I'm not just going to slap something in.
Right.
But his recommendation was the polyphosphate. And as you just stated, it encompasses it. It doesn't coat it.
Yeah. So that's it. For those of you listening who may not be aware, so most municipalities that have old delivery lines, they put orthophosphates in. What orthophosphates do is they coat the inside of the pipe and prevent the corrosion. A polyphosphate would be something that goes in and it surrounds, say, the hardness mineral or the iron mineral. It puts like a coating on it so that it prevents the minerals from sticking to things. So you'll see that on irrigation systems or those types of things. So they're similar. But they serve two purposes, and you're right, Paul, to make sure that it's food grade and that you're able to put it inside the pipe. It'd be interesting. I think that sometimes in this industry, I mean, there are so many variables, but I think that sometimes people just, they just try it. Sometimes it's like a, you know, hit or miss, or you just try something just to see if it's going to work or make a difference. And sometimes because so many of the problems that we run into are psychological, they're, you know, consumer psychology, where, you know, it could be something. I mean, you get 20-year-old pipes, it's sometimes possible that you just have leaks, you know, because of, like you said, water pressure or, you know, other variables, especially on the hot side, because you're heating up the metal, which makes the metal weaker. And so, yeah, you're more likely to have those types of leaks, especially if you're applying constant hot water to those pipes through that recirc pump. I mean, it's the reason that you're going to get a little more leaking. Go ahead.
It's a friend of the owner. He doesn't even have our type of system in his house. I go and I put something in and something happens still.
Yeah. Yep. You break it. You buy it. Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that before, where it's like you suddenly own it now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just skeptical, leery, and making sure that I'm crossing the T's and dotting the I's, or dotting the I's and crossing the T's, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So we got about 15 minutes left on the call, and guys, I have a topic in mind today, but I don't really have a direction that I wanted to go with it. It's just, I just wanted to have a conversation and with people in the industry about this, because it's something that I notice. I mean, those of us that have been in the industry for any amount of time have seen some real changes. And for, I think maybe about 10 years now, there's been some real change. And I was just kind of curious what you guys anticipated or saw about it. And what I'm referring to is, way back when I came into the industry, for the most part, there were only a handful of manufacturers out there. I mean, so there were a bunch of independents that did Fleck and Autotrol valves. That sort of changed a lot. I mean, there's still people who do the Fleck and Autotrol stuff, but a lot, you know, that now you've introduced Clack into it. And so you get a lot of these companies, these smaller guys, or sometimes larger companies that will have a, you know, a Clack, Fleck, or Autotrol. But back when I came in the industry, it was mostly, you know, you had Culligan and Kinetico and Haig and Echo and Rainsoft. And, you know, there were the brands, right? The major big company brands. I mean, you also, you know, Water-Rite and Hellenbrand and these, you know, the OEMs, the, you know, these different brands out there. Right. So about 10 years ago, and the first time I really saw it happen was, you know, sort of like, whoa, this is going to be kind of a change, was when A.O. Smith bought Haig. I mean, that was the first, I'm sure A.O. Smith had purchased other companies in preparation, but that was the first big one that really hit me when A.O. Smith bought Haig. And then you started seeing, A.O. Smith started buying a bunch of these companies. And, Paul, you just, Braswell, right. Thank you. Paul just reminded me, Braswell, I missed that one. Thanks for the text, Paul, you're right. But then you had, there was Haig, and then Franklin Electric jumped in and started buying a bunch. And over the last 10 years or so, we've started to see these, what I would call outside entities. And I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form to be insulting to these companies, but because sometimes an industry is shaken up by the outside, you know, by people looking at the industry and saying, wow, we could do that differently. And so, we did see, I remember, you know, there were some companies like GE and 3M that came in and thought that they were going to sort of take the world by storm because of the name, the brand recognized name. And so they basically private labeled a softener that was being made by somebody else. And that sort of petered out. And I've come to expect that to come and go. But these days, you're not seeing these companies like A.O. Smith. I mean, yes, they are branding some of their own stuff, but they are also leaving the brands of some of these other companies out. You're also kind of seeing it, I know that we generally stay away from talking product, you know, companies, specific companies and products, but because of this discussion, I'm just talking what we all know in the industry. But, you know, we're seeing it in the Culligan world where a lot of the small Culligan dealers are being purchased by the larger Culligan dealers. You know, you have, so there, I mean, there are three or four, owners of just a ton of Culligan dealers. You're seeing that in a lot of the other dealership networks as well. Recently, and I don't know all the details of this, but it's my understanding just on the surface that Walmart is getting rid of many of the McDonald's and Subways in their stores across the country, and they're filling that space with dealerships, with water treatment dealerships. And I don't know if they're going to be – I don't think they're going to be Walmart branded, but they are going to be leasing this space to water treatment dealerships and running it through there instead of the McDonald's and the Subways. So you're seeing that kind of thing. So what I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit is, I don't know if you guys are seeing this trend as well. Obviously, if you've been in the industry a while, you're seeing it if you are aware at all. But I just wanted to have a discussion kind of with a group of professionals out there, all of us doing kind of the same things. And I don't want to necessarily – you know, I'm not taking a side on whether it's good or bad. I just think it's interesting. And I kind of want to talk about it with you guys. You know, what do you think is going on here, and how is it going to impact us as a, you know, as an industry? What do you think it means for the future of this industry? And go. It's kind of a big one.
Well, I know that, you know, Home Depot has tried, Lowe's has tried, you know, they have specific companies, you know, I think it was Kinetico for a while, I think it was Echo for a while at the Home Depot, I think Culligan entertained some stuff at Lowe's. There wasn't a lot of traction for our side of that for some reason, I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because there's only a guy there on a Saturday and they don't have them staffed fully. But they want to get the major population coming in and out of those facilities. It's very interesting that Walmart is entertaining that or doing that right now. And that's interesting. A lot of people go to Walmart. A lot of people need water treatment.
So the Lowe's and the Home Depot thing, that's in-home services. So they do have their own, you know, mostly that's A.O. Smith now and a lot of those, you know, because they've branded. But, you know, so they do kind of sell their same you know, that their same product, their, but the relationships they have with like the Kinetico's and the, I mean, it started, Home Depot started with Rainsoft, and then it was Kinetico for a little while. And I think there were some Culligans in them for a little while. Echo was kind of married to Costco. You know, they have the Costco's nationwide. So those are kind of the in-home service. I guess the Walmart thing might be similar to the Costco thing where, except that usually there's just a booth at Costco. They do have a relationship because you can use the Costco credit and stuff like that. But, you know, to actually have a dealership in the store is interesting to me. That I have not really seen anywhere else. Have you seen that?
It's really amazing. Your Costco comment's amazing because, yeah, Echo is in there, and they sell bottled water coolers from Culligan.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Right. It's branding. I mean, that's association. I mean, just as a you know, that their companies have a name recognized brand, and you know, of course, these companies are going to take advantage of the brand, the brand recognizing. But what do you guys? How do you think? Do you think it's good for the industry? Is it going to hurt us? How do we as dealers or sales, you know, in-home sales professionals? I mean, how do we adjust to that, do you think? You know,
it's Michelle. If I could just take a moment to talk about what I see as the business and the psychology of it.
Yeah.
Business-wise, there is a huge Walmart population that has a certain price point that they can afford. And if Walmart is thinking they're going to bring a very affordable product to these consumers, then I think that's a win for them. There's also the psychology of, and I hate to bring up COVID, but I think since COVID and you know, everybody is worried about their health, water has been on the news and in the news more than ever, all the regulations that are coming out with PFAS and PFOA, and I think they lowered the arsenic, or raised, however you say that correctly. But I think people are now looking for more affordable options, and I think Walmart is going to jump on that trend. Whether I think the consumers are out there, I think that it's a good bet. Ultimately, I guess time will tell how that works out for them. But I think that's why they're looking into it.
You know, what's interesting about that, that's a clack valve, too, that they're putting in. The dealerships they're putting in are carrying a clack valve, which is interesting. That's kind of the first time I've seen that as well. So, you're right about the price point. It's interesting because I'm watching – there was somebody on Water Treatment Pros on Facebook, and it's interesting seeing the reaction of people, you know, like, obviously a lot of people shop at Walmart, but Walmart sort of has this reputation of being inexpensive, but not, you know, the highest quality. So I don't know if what that's going to do is that, certainly it's going to attract an entry level consumer. You would think if they're marketing Walmart's always talked about low prices, right? The lowest prices. I don't know. What else do you guys think? I mean, how is that going to impact? I mean, I have an idea that it's going to force us that are doing the traditional dealership program. You know, those of us that are, the dealers out there that are doing, you know, we're going in and we're doing the in-home plumbing assessment and the in-home water analysis, and we're doing the sales presentation. I think it's going to force us to, and this has always been the case with the box stores, right? With all the box stores have always sold water softeners. And, you know, how do you sell a $3,000 water softener when the customer can go down to a box store and buy one for $600-$700? Well, it's because we have to sell. I mean, yes, obviously there's a better quality, right? Those, it's a $700 water softener is a $700 water softener. And that's you know, what we are carrying in most cases is going to be, you know, better quality. There's 1-year warranty on the box door units for a reason. But it's not a $2,000 better quality. So what is the difference? It's got to be in the service and the follow-up and the the intangibles that we offer. So I think these types of trends are going to force us as an industry to really pay more attention to the intangibles, to the service, to the follow-up, to the quality. You know, I think when you have those companies out there that have the really, you know, highly recognized names, it's easy to get complacent because people are calling based on that. But, you know, I think in the last few years, it's forced those companies to really focus more, you know, to live up to that name, you know, to, I don't know, what else do you guys think about this? How do you see it changing? It is interesting. I mean, that to me is the bottom line. As you said, Paul, that was my reaction as well, is it's just interesting. It's interesting what's happening to the industry. But what else do you guys think about it? I mean, what are your thoughts that pop out? And thank you, Michelle. I don't know if I said that. Thank you. I appreciated that perspective.
I think it's absolutely beneficial for all of us, and specifically the companies that have been doing it for a long time. I've only been doing this for about 8 years, but I have heard stories about, you know, the sales guy that comes in and, you know, does it really well. And, oh, I can go out on my own and, you know, I can start my own dealership, and they can go out and, you know, install a lot of things. And then, you know, selling it's the easy part. Maintaining it is not. And
right.
In the short time that I've been doing this, I can, in our market, I can say probably 7-8 companies that have come and gone.
Yeah. And you get the service.
And that's really no different than, you know, Chuck in a truck saying he's a contractor, and then all of these different companies, whether it be GE or Maytag or whoever it is coming in. They're creating awareness. And awareness is good. And if these companies don't really have a background, they don't really have the longevity in the market, then those customers that are smarter are going to go out and research, and that's where it's going to benefit those of us that have been doing it for a long time, that have a good reputation, that not only install but also service after the fact. So with them coming in, with the news putting out there with what it is, it's just creating more awareness, but we've got to do a better job than them of making sure that if they make the decision to improve their water, that they make a good decision and we save them from making a bad decision.
It's a really healthy perspective, Scott. I agree with you 100% on all of that.
I do too, Scott. Be the best out there that there is. People will come to your company because we are supposed to be the experts.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times you see so many weird things going on with other people and recommendations, and it's just you just got to explain it and be kind and show them the right process in regards to what does need to happen to solve the water issues that they are having.
And don't shop on and don't sell on price.
No.
If you sell on price, you're going to lose to Lowe's and Home Depot or Walmart every time. You've got to prove the value of why not only your equipment is better, but you're going to be happy a month later, a year later, 5 years later. That's really where the value comes from.
Absolutely.
I agree.
We got 40 trucks, you know, take pictures, show people we're out there. We're doing the hard work.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Somebody else had a comment?
Good morning. I had a comment from one of my – actually from a client and who was running a company, and he said, when I leave my – after putting something into my customer, I leave saying, hopefully you'll never see me again, but if you ever need me, I'll be there.
Yeah, I understand. I definitely understand the concept of that. For me, I like to stay in touch with my customers. I mean, I always told my customers the sale starts after the system's installed and paid. because I, you know, I want to make sure that they remember me because I want the referrals, you know, so I want them to always think about me. But I definitely understand the reason, you know, I used to tell people, I'll never promise you that nothing will ever go, you know, that nothing will ever go wrong with it. What I will promise is that if it does, I'll be there to fix it, which I think is kind of similar to what you're, you know, what you're referring to, what that phrase was there. Guys, thank you for this conversation. I really appreciate it. It's so nice to have this group where we can kind of get together and just talk about stuff like this. I really appreciate everybody taking the time to log on and setting this time out weekly. It means a ton to me. So we will talk to you next week, if not before. Stay warm, be safe, and thanks again, everybody.
Great day, guys.
Thank you. Bye.